first time then? Do you remember the first time that you started splashing in the water with a board?
Yes. We would go down to Lover's Point and play a lot. As kids, running around the rocks, helping out with the boat rentals at the Pacific Grove Marine Garden, boat rentals, swimming in the saltwater pool, just being kids. And there was a group of surfers that were always at Lover's Point, especially when the waves were breaking. Tim Flannery was one, who passed away this year, and he was more or less the godfather of surfing at that time in the late 60s. So Tim would let us paddle his surfboard, but only up to the edge of the pier. And then we would get to the edge of the pier and you would look out and you'd see the waves coming in and the ocean seemed so massive and powerful and intriguing. So it was like I was completely addicted to being in the water on a board in that element.
Yeah. No wetsuit.
No wetsuit then.
Right. So you were kind of freezing your blue lips when you came home.
Oh, you were so excited it
right.
Didn't faze you.
So then what happens as far as the surfing goes? It's interesting to hear how that develops, like how you learn. And
well, the surfing, you know, I had committed to surfing, but it was difficult because none of the friends that I was associated with really surfed. There was one friend that I, a guy that I became friends with, Rick Furpo. I met him in just when he entered junior high and I was still in elementary school. And we started mat surfing and belly boarding. And just, you know, when we could, my mom would take us to the beach. We'd go to Santa Cruz Boardwalk and be on our mats, and I had a little belly board. We had a little group in PG, and there was another little group a few blocks up, and we were playing parking lot football one day. And, you know, they thought, well, you guys look like surfers. You guys surf, and, yeah, we get out there now and then, and the other crew was like, yeah, we've got some boards and we like to go too. So this was in the spring of 1970. And I already had my first surfboard. My mom bought me my first surfboard, Christmas 69. And I got out there now and then, but it was always my mom would take me, drop me off, and I would paddle out and figure it out. I was getting to where I could stand up and ride a wave pretty well. And then we met this other group. Among them was a guy who's in Big Sur today. His name's Lewis Potter. And I was 13. Lewis was 4 years older, so 17. He had a car. And we all met the next day and piled in the back of a 56 Chevy Nomad station wagon and drove down to Del Monte Beach. And the rest was history. We were hooked from that day on.
Wow.
And surfing has been my life.
Yeah.
And pretty much the other guys in that car, their life too, they're still involved in it to this day.
Right.
50 years later.
Yeah. Huh.
Lewis was a really great traveling companion.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of surf trips together. Lewis was full on, right with all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't until he got married that he, you know, got involved with raising a family.
Sure,
and sure. He still surfs.
Yeah. Wow. So then Del Monte Beach, we are inching our way closer to this area. Do you remember any of the first visits down to here?
Well, my first visit to Big Sur was in 1966. Mm-hmm. My mother was an artist. Mm-hmm. She loved to paint. Mm-hmm. So our first trip to Big Sur, we hopped in our 62 Nova convertible and headed south. I had my belly board and my little vest wetsuit. Okay. And our first stop was Little Sur Beach. Along the way, I remember driving. It seemed like the trip took forever.
Right.
And I remember driving along Hurricane Point and looking down and thinking, you know, how can this be? This is like another world, you know. And we arrived at Little Sur, and then the beach was accessible. And we made our way down to the lagoon behind the sand dunes. And my mother painted, and I played in the lagoon in the Little Sur River. And I remember hearing drums off in the distance, and was kind of intrigued by that, and later found out that there was a hippie commune living in the cypress trees on the north end of the river, just below the bridge. So that was where the drums came from, but I didn't know where they were coming from that day. So we ended up heading south from there. I remember getting into the valley, driving by River Inn, and I remember all the hippies. We got to Nepenthe and walked around Nepenthe, looked at the view, and I will never forget this moment, driving up Coast Grade, reaching the top, and the first two corners as you drop down towards Nepenthe, looking at all of that coastline, Grimes Point, Partington Point, Cape San Martin off in the distance, and thinking to myself at that very moment, this is it. This is where I want to be. And so we ended up at Nepenthe and walked around, and my mom wanted to have lunch at a little place up the hill, so we drove back eventually and stopped at what was the Post Family Roadhouse Cafe, which became a Shell station at one point when Ventana bought it, and now is the maintenance building for Ventana. But there was a little cafe there, a little log cabin cafe. I remember sitting at the counter on a swivel stool with the linoleum counter and the little jukebox where you flip the pages and press A5 for Elvis Presley, Love Me Tender. And we sat and we had burgers and milkshakes and headed home. And that was my first impression of Big Sur.
That is so great. I have to tell you. Oh man, it's so, as well, I get tears in my eyes because it's so, it's not because I'm touched particularly. I mean, I am touched, but it's more like it's so funny because just yesterday I'm talking to Gary Keppel, you know, owner of Coast Gallery.
Yeah.
He tells me the story of how Don McQueen and Walter Trotter are basically burning up the hippie camp
at Little Sur.
Yeah. And he tells me that yesterday, right? And it's so funny that you should mention it as having heard the drums from a distance in those very in those trees. He said, you know, Gary said that maybe that's 67, 68, because it increased, I guess. Because you're saying 66, right?
Well, you know, I thought it was the first full summer I was here. Could have been 67.
Uh-huh, right.
Very well could have been 67.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's just interesting to see where, to know when the first sort of invasion of the hippies took place.
Yeah, well,
just what would have been right around then.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think 67 might be
a
good call. That was a long time ago.
Right, right. I know. So that is such a wonderful story. How you felt so compelled or so touched by the view of the coast already at such a young age. You're only 10 years old. And then of course you continue in school in PG.
Well, growing up in Pacific Grove, after we formed our surf group, it was all about surfing, and our lives revolved around it. My mother supported it. My mother took us surfing everywhere, and was a big part of helping us do what we loved, you know, making lunches, taking us to the beach.
Did your sister surf too?
No, she never surfed.
No.
That was our life. We didn't surf in Big Sur much because we didn't know much about it. We had enough to do around the peninsula.
Right.
Actually, before we surfed down here much, we used to come down here and backpack. My mom and, you know, when I was in junior high, 13, my mom would drop us off at Choose Ridge, and we come out 4 or 5 days later at the Pfeiffer State Park. Lewis Potter and Billy Brewer and I did a lot of backcountry backpacking in the early 70s, 1969-70. Mm-hmm. And then our first exposure to the surf in Big Sur was a sitting at Lover's Point with Tim Flannery, and Tim telling us about a remote, powerful reef break in Big Sur that Wayne Hyland surfed by himself, and that talked about how the cobblestones rolled up and down, mm-hmm. and how powerful the waves were. Mm-hmm. And of course, we wanted to know where it was, mm-hmm. and he said, "I'll tell you when you're ready." So we had this thought in the back of our minds.
Mythological wave.
Yeah. Eventually, we found it on our own.
Yeah. When you go back to your mom is no longer alive. Is she still alive?
No, my mother passed when I was 19. Mm-hmm. That was really difficult for me. My father was in Oregon. My sister had moved up to Oregon and started a life there. And it was just my mother and I living in Pacific Grove. And she had cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was really tough. And eventually she passed away in 1977. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was on my own, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and had to figure it out.
Yeah. When you, you've sort of lived almost like a nomad in a way. Like you say, you've pretty much focused on surfing, and you haven't. I don't know. Maybe you've had a house and an apartment in PG over the years and all of that. But I've always known you as someone who's lived in your car or, in your van.
Well, I think I was drawn to the nomadic lifestyle at a young age, being around, you know, my father and camping, and I used to camp out behind the house when I was really young, mm-hmm. and to me it was a freedom, mm-hmm. and I remember we did a lot of camping, but as soon as I was able to have a vehicle. My first vehicle was a 54 Dodge pickup with the camper that I bought a wood camper shell for it. Mm-hmm. And, as soon as I could, I was off camping by the beach. And in those days, you know, I would camp right at a Solimar and have a fire pit right next, just off the road, and surf all day and come back to my car and have lunch and at night have a campfire and bed down right there. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was freedom. Yeah. I could come and go as I please. I could be where I wanted, when I wanted, and how I wanted. Mm-hmm. And but I have lived in houses, yeah. on occasion. Yeah. And I also traveled a lot. I traveled extensively from 1979 to probably 1994, mm-hmm. where every year I would head out somewhere. Mm-hmm. New Zealand, Australia, Indonesia, South America, Hawaii, and did long, extensive trips. Some of my trips where I was gone for up to a year. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And most of them surrounding being by waves.
Surfing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And survival through hook and crook, whatever you were, so to speak.
I mean, well, I would. Picking up. I've always been in the restaurant business, mm-hmm. and I would work and save, mm-hmm. work and save, and then plan a trip, mm-hmm. and then I would leave my job and off I would go. Mm-hmm. And I put my car on blocks and put my things in storage or someplace, mm-hmm. and then come back and start again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, when you were traveling all those years, you know, I have...